If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey.
All right, listen, I think the easiest thing here would be to rant and rave about the Yankees closing situation. I'm not going to rant, I'm not going to rave, I'm not going to scream. I'm going to tell you, though, that Clay Holmes has to step aside. That's it. Can't be the closer. Can't be it. I think if you get on the air and you make a statement like the Yankees can't win the World Series with Clay Holmes, I don't know what the hell's going to happen in October. So I'm not going to say it like that, but I am going to say that I'm not willing to take the chance. So I got a plan for you that is fairly radical, but this is something the Yankees must do. I know that Clark Schmidt is on the way back. I know that Louis Scheel and however they are juggling his innings limit, whatever they're going to do with him moving forward, I'll let the Yankees figure that out. But if the Yankees think that Scheel can make X amount of starts the rest of the way and, you know, pitch into October deeply without a lot of restriction, then Louis Scheel stays in the rotation and Clark Schmidt becomes my closer. If the Yankees are worried or obviously taking precautionary steps about Louis Scheel and how many pitches he throws, then Louis Scheel is my closer and Clark Schmidt steps back in the rotation as soon as he's healthy and he's inching toward his return. Clay Holmes ain't it. Not good enough.
Yeah, we've been saying this for a while, BT. I just don't trust Clay Holmes. And look, he was an all-star, and he's still one of the better closers in the league. Now, you can look at the 10 blown saves. Obviously, that's going to be something that would tell you otherwise, but he just reminds me of any of the pedestrian closers that we've seen historically, whether it be in this town with the Mets, because Mariano was here for so long. We haven't seen that many with the Yankees, or just around the league. Like, yeah, he's good, but do you trust him in a big spot? And I never have, and it feels like it continues to get worse. Here's the issue. You can come up with whatever plan you want. Yankees aren't making a change. They had an opportunity to do something at the trade deadline to add. They added to the bullpen, but clearly that wasn't enough. They did not add a closer to replace Clay Holmes, which you talked about them doing dating back to April or May. So the Yankees don't think that they have a problem. They just think that it's bad luck because Clay Holmes pitches the contact. Well, what do you think is going to change in the postseason? And they're held to a higher standard because the Yankees are trying to win a World Series where a lot of teams would love to have Clay Holmes, but the Yankees are held to a different standard. How can you trust Clay Holmes in a big spot in the postseason? You can't. So I'm with you that they should try to come up with something different. I don't think that there is any better resolution right now, or better solution, I should say, for the closer situation. I think it's you're going to ride or die with Clay Holmes, and the Yankees have indicated that they're willing to do that.
Yeah, and then they're going to die because he's just going to give up too many hits, and whether it's a squirter through the hole or, you know, whatever it might be, a little bloop here, a blast there, a couple of walks, he can't be the closer. Listen, I understand that there's been situations in our city. You know, Jesse Orozco was good. Right. He wasn't amazing.
Right.
And he was the lefty version for the 86 Mets. Roger McDowell was really effective with that sinker, really good. But it's not like he was Mariano. And even before Mariano, John Wetland, if you're old enough to remember this, Yankee fans, back in 96 when Wetland was the closer, you know, John Wetland, you know, would dance that tightrope and, you know, intermittently really struggle finding the strike zone. But at least John Wetland, when he had a rare back and throw by somebody, he could. Listen, I think, I'm going to disagree with you on this front here, Sal. I think that the Yankees know that they have an issue. Now, it would be...
You hear Boone last night? So I heard him. Threw the ball well. Like, I heard him. The same stuff.
Yeah, but he says that about everything.
Okay.
So I just think that that's his M.O. He doesn't undress anybody. Not that you're going to undress Clay Holmes last night. I mean, multiple people failed. Mark Leiter, Yankees didn't hit, whatever. And Leiter's been an absolute atrocity. He has been gross.
Well, that was their big arm. I mean, the Yankees got brought in two guys at the deadline. Mm-hmm. One they caught. The other was Mark Leiter. We heard about, oh, Mark Leiter's stud. Yeah. And he's a... I don't want to disparage him.
No, I hear you. He looks like a guy.
He's an average bullpen.
Well, but see, I started the show by saying that I don't want to scream and rant and rave, and now you bring up Cashman, you're going to make me start screaming and ranting and raving.
Well,
because he didn't do enough at the deadline. He didn't do anything, really.
I'm surprised that you think that they are aware that they have a problem.
I do. I just don't think they will not project that publicly, nor should they, because I think the Yankees like to keep that tight, which I do respect.
Right.
That's why they're pretty buttoned up, and there's really not a lot of leaks. I think that's good, and that's emblematic of a classy, well-run franchise. But I believe that they're already starting to devise a plan to switch things up.
See, the argument against is, and again, I just never have believed in Clay Holmes, period, as being the closer. Yeah,
I think you were first on this.
Okay.
I didn't give you credit.
Which is fine. I mean, well, this is dating back to last year, and that may not have been first, whatever. It's just how I feel. I just don't trust him, especially when you talk about the Yankees. You know, Edwin Diaz isn't an all-world closer the way that he was in 2022 anymore, but I still trust him a lot more than I do Clay Holmes, and he has his issues too. So every closer, like you said, you mentioned the Yankee guys that could go with Johnny Franco or Armando Benitez.
Yeah, Franco, sure.
You know, and those are good closers,
yep.
But just, yeah. You know, it's just hard to trust. Clay Holmes maybe more so than others, and he has blown 10 saves. So
10.
We're not just making this up, but then if I ask you, well, where were the better options? You know, I didn't really want Tanner Scott. Okay, he was one of the top arms. I wanted the Mets to get Estevez, so I guess if I wanted the Mets to get him, then the Yankees could have gotten him. But is he lights out, dominant closer? Where is the can't-miss arm that the Yankees missed on? Where are those closers? You look around the league. Look at Baltimore. Does Baltimore have a good pen? I wouldn't want Craig Kimbrel anywhere near my team. So, I hope that the Yankees could figure out a better answer at closer than Clay Holmes. I think that they made their bet. They're going to have to land it here.
Well, that's why I didn't give you external options, because I don't really disagree. What it would have taken to get closers in, different closers, it was the price was too exorbitant, too rich for the game. And by the way, I agreed with them in doing that. In I think they exercised pretty decent prudence with that, you know, because I don't think anything's a sure thing in the back of the bullpen, no matter what kind of regular season numbers you put up. So I think it was kind of tough to justify giving up Spencer Joe or whatever it would have required to get some of these stud arms out there. But that's why I'm giving you internal options. That's why I'm sitting here saying it's not, you know, and it's easy to just, you know, here we are, middle-ish August, you know, a couple of weeks after the deadline. Oh, Cashman missed this, which he did, but that's not the route. That's lazy, I guess, or it's just it's too easy. I'm coming with solutions.
Right.
But the solution, there's two. There's two internal solutions. Figure out how many pitches you want Heel to throw. If you think he can push this forward through the end of October, he's the rotation. He stays there. Clark Schmidt, you're the closer. If not with Heel, Clark Schmidt in the rotation, Heel, you're the closer. There's the solution.
But there is still...
And then Holmes, it's a setup, man.
Understood, but there are still unknowns there. Like, we've never seen...
I got you, but at least those guys can strike him out. Certainly Heel.
I get it, but, I mean, Heel also walks the ballpark on occasion. You want that guy coming in the ninth inning, and all of a sudden, if it's a day he doesn't have command, you're screwed. So, I understand why you're saying that, and if that were to be the case or the plan, then the Yankees should have been thinking about this beforehand, and it seems like they aren't. I asked Brian Cashman flat out when we had him on, what's the plan with Luis Heel? He basically said they're going to ride this out. Like, until Heel gives them a reason to believe that they can't have him in the starting rotation, they're not moving him. And he was steadfast about Clay Holmes. I don't know. I like Luis Heel, and I think, okay, well, if you're going to try to preserve his innings, maybe use him out of the pen, but to throw him into the closer's role, same thing with Clark Schmidt. Like, Clark Schmidt has been a solid starter for them for a short period of time. You're going to tell me that he's going to be the closer more so than an all-star in Clay Holmes?
I mean, I'm not getting too wrapped up in the all-star tag. You know what I'm saying? All-star.
Well,
does he look like an all-star?
No, I mean...
Lately, has it?
He blew a bunch of saves early in the year, too. You know, this is not... He is who he is.
He's got 10, Sal.
Yeah, I mean,
a couple more, he's going to finish up with 15 or 16. That's unacceptable.
I get it. And too many guys are putting it... When you put the bat on the ball and put the ball in play, bad things can happen.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened to Clay Holmes. So they could say bad luck, but my goodness, if that happens, you think Clay Holmes is going to get through an entire postseason?
No chance.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't even. You didn't have to finish the question. Yeah, I know what you know. The answer is no, which is why I've come with solutions. Hopefully the Yanks are listening, and I know they are. 888-881-9, BT and Sal. Hopefully you guys had a great weekend. We'll get to the Mets and what happened over the weekend with them. Nimmo's shoulder, the MRI today. Hopefully that works out well. Daniel Jones, got a lot to unpack from that as well. Rinse out of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let's get to you. It's BT and Sal on a Monday, kicking off a good, it's almost football season as well. Pete, Long Island, what's happening, Petey? How you doing?
Good, BT. How you doing? Long time listener.
Good.
First time caller. I got a question and a suggestion. The suggestion is, let's just go to Canely, give him a shot. And the question is, why does Holmes throw 60-70% of curveballs and sliders now when his bread and butter is that sinker?
The problem with the sinker, I don't want to geek this up and give you an answer and just try to sound smarter than I am. I don't know. I'm going to say I don't know the actual answer to the sinker question. But, Sal, Even when said, again, I've given him credit, not that he's looking for it. Sal was the first person I heard say Holmes is going to be an issue. And I'm like, nah, man, he's got good stuff. He throws 99. He's got this six sinker. It's unhittable. He wound up being right. He's officially an issue. Every Yankee fan knows that. The Yankees know that, right? The thing, though, even though I was never as worried as Sal was, this is months ago, all right? A little more than that, too. I did have a slight reservation when your best pitch is a sinker, okay? And it doesn't start, basically, imagine the catcher's mask. If it doesn't start there, and like the arm slot whatever, is perfect, then if it's a little lower, it's going to be in the ground. And he's got a propensity, as we've seen, not only to give up soft contact, but also to lose the strike zone. So the sinker is incredibly effective to roll a double play, to keep it in the ballpark, obviously, but if it is not perfect, you're going to walk the ballpark.
Yeah, and they can continue to minimize it all they want. Say, it's a little blooper, or it's a little grounder, yeah. You know, whatever. Well, it's happened already. He's blown 10 saves already. What makes you think that that's going to change come October? And again, I know that you can look around and say, well, who would you rather have? Hey, you know what? The Yankees needed to figure something out, because if I were saying this in March or April, holding them to a World Series standard, this wasn't projecting, oh, well, Holmes is going to blow 10 saves and the Yankees are going to struggle in the regular season. This was saying, okay, when I look at this Yankee team, where are the spots that I say, well, this is going to hold them back from being a World Series team? And to me, one clear as day was Clay Holmes. I don't trust him in a big spot in a postseason. Now, that's played out in the regular season. Could things change in the postseason? They could, but based on what we've seen in the regular season, what would make you think that it's going to? If anything, you would think it's going to get worse because it's going to be playing better teams with better hitters who are going to get, put more balls in play against Clay Holmes.
Yeah. Let's face it. I mean, the Yankees' defense in certain spots is pretty good. In certain spots, it's not.
Right.
You know, you talk about the infield defense now, a bit of a revolving door at third base. Hopefully Chisholm, and good to see him in the stands last night. That was a fun broadcast, by the way. And if he comes back outside of the one error that he had, he played very well at third. Can he keep it up in October? Maybe. But, you know, hopefully. But Torres is half a train wreck at second. Volpe's kicked a few easy ones this year, which is alarming. Rizzo was a good fielder, but he's not even playing. And if it's DJ or Ben Rice, So, I mean, the more balls that are put in play with an average to slight, in certain spots, slightly below average defense, that's even more problematic. You know, you have Ozzie Smith and, you know, Brooks Robinson around the horn, and Joe Morgan, triple around the horn. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. We got Tommy in Howell, New Jersey. Tom, what's cooking?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey. What's up, Tom?
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, obviously no one's saying the Yankees made a bad trade or anything for Soto like that. And obviously, even as a Yankee, they already were transitioning him into a starter. But this is really where I think Michael King, if he was still around, he really could have been the closer of the future. And, you know, obviously even the Yankees were trying to make him into a starter at the end of the year.
Oh, he is a starter.
He was.
Yep. He's a starter.
But he was originally in the bullpen, his stuff was lights out. He could have been the answer of the future.
Do you not want Soto? You want to give him back and go get Michael King?
That's what I started with. But I'm saying, but my point is that he was someone that was in the bullpen originally, and for some reason the Yankees were trying to make him into a starter when they clearly needed a closer even then.
Yeah, but you have to understand, at that point they didn't have Stroman on the team. Rodon was a disaster. I mean, they have a whole lot of starting pitching either. Now, let me say one thing about Holmes, at least in his defense, while I don't trust him, and I do think they've got to really change that he can't be the closer. The one thing that I don't worry with him, and this is not the case with other closers who struggle, I don't think he's very combustible. Like, I think he's got the right, in terms of mental temperament, I think he's got the right temperament. I don't see him getting, even his post-game interviews, when he chalks one up and blows one, he's not rattled, he's not fazed, he's not overwhelmed. Now, what does that mean at the end of the day? Well, it means nothing if you don't get to 27.
Well, he's done it enough. He's got experience handling those situations. He's only blown 10 of them.
I hear you. But you know what I mean? There's certain closers. Like, think about Armando Benitez. Right. You can just see the wires getting crossed.
Well, even Edwin Diaz.
Edwin Diaz gets a little skittish out there when things go awry. Chapman has shown the propensity, and I don't mean just physically, mentally, to go a little awry. So, you know, to be a closer, you've got to have a short memory, and I do think that Clay Holmes has that. He just doesn't seem that he just doesn't seem to have the right repertoire to be the closer.
Forget Michael King. Two reasons. One, because you traded them for Juan Soto. So end of story. Like, you had to actually give to get when you're talking about Juan Soto. Number two, he was transitioning to be a starter because that's what he is. Michael King is a starting pitcher. So, yeah, he was terrific in the bullpen, but he's a starting pitcher. The guy that I thought, and I would say the majority, I'd be curious to get your take, BT, because we haven't talked about him much since we've been together as a show for a year, but the guy that I thought was going to take over the closer's role after Chapman was Jonathan Loaisiga.
Me too.
That was the guy who, when you watch him at his best, you're saying, okay, well, he's their closer. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, at the time, he was better than Chapman when they had Chapman. You're thinking, they got to transition now to Loaisiga. He could just never stay healthy, and that's a major issue. But Jonathan Loaisiga, and I don't know if the Yankees' minds, I'm assuming, was going to be that guy and be their closer. He looked like a guy that, or projected to be a closer. I'd rather have a bullpen with Holmes into Loaisiga, but health has been a major issue for him.
I don't disagree. I mean, Holmes would be great seventh, great eighth. I mean, if you had, you know, I mean, if you had Holmes seventh, Canely eighth, and Loaisiga ninth, I mean, that's pretty good.
And I don't
seems
even
better
know,
than it is now.
I don't even know if it's more, if it's still about like seven, eight, nine, but. Well, I mean, certainly the Yanks have had an issue just closing these games out with Holmes. But even if, who do you want facing the best part?
That's
of
true.
You know what I
That's
mean?
That's true. That's
like,
true.
In the eighth inning, if it's 2-3-4 coming up and you're up a run.
Give me a closer.
Yeah, right. Go with your best arm, whoever that is at the time. You don't want Holmes facing those guys either. So.
Yep. And by the way, Goose Gossage, people forget this. Goose used to come in, I don't know if it was as early as the sixth, but Goose would come, like if the Royals had George Brett coming up and they had a couple of guys on base, whatever, you're not waiting until Goose is, you know, okay, it's the ninth inning, get number 54 up. I mean, he would come in before the ninth inning, to your point. So I always agree with that.
We saw Buck do that with Diaz a couple of years ago.
100 others have done it, no doubt. Luis is down in Florida, the free Odyssey app. Luis, BT and Sal, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Luis?
We're good. How you doing, man?
Guys, I think Clay Holmes, I know a lot of people are not going to like it. I think he's the best option for the New York Yankees right now because there's no other option out there.
I gave you two of them, Lewis. Lewis, I gave you two of them.
Yeah. Give me them. Give me them again, my bad.
It's okay. Clark Schmidt or Luis Gil.
You can't put those guys in the bullpen. They're not strikeout pitchers.
Okay, neither is Clay Holmes.
Well, that's the problem, right? So there's no strikeout pitchers out there besides Clase and Mason Miller. Besides those guys, who's the best closer in the American League?
I'm not worried. Lou, let me. I hear you, man. But just because there's a dearth of high caliber closers now, and I'm going to grant you that. And that's a cyclical thing. Certain years or certain decades, there's, you know, five, six guys who are lights out. Others, it's fewer. So there's fewer now. Understood. But that doesn't mean what the Yankees have is acceptable or going to work.
Yeah, I think as New York fans, we've kind of been spoiled for so long with Mariano Rivera that we kind of want the best closer ever, you know, closing our game.
No, I just don't want 10 blown saves by September 1st.
There's a difference. Luis, where you're talking about trying to win a World Series. Now, you can say, well, look at the competition as you did. We talked about it earlier. Like, I get it. But the Yankees are going to be held to a higher standard. And just because the competition may not be there around baseball doesn't mean that it's okay to feel good about Clay Holmes in the postseason. He's blowing games in the regular season. What makes you think that he's not going to do that in the postseason? The Yankees should have figured out a way to upgrade that spot. They did not. End of story. Now, you want to tell me who that guy? Like, Tanner Scott was supposedly the best reliever on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he can't find the strike zone. And that's not something that I could get behind. So I can't blame the Yankees for not going all in to getting him when he was the best arm, but the guy's got issues throwing strikes. So that's a question mark about it. All right, fine. But there had to be a way to upgrade over Clay Holmes because he just ain't it. And that was obvious going into the year.
And not only is Holmes and the Yankees certainly in need of an upgrade, but the moves they did make have blown up in their faces.
Yeah.
One guy's on the street, and one guy's terrible.
Right, you could have gotten an arm, maybe not the best guy, but a guy who, hey, you know what? If he finds the right groove here, he could eventually take over if needed.
Correct.
Maybe they thought that was lighter. It's not.
It's not. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata show on a Monday. We'll get to Daniel Jones's performance. We'll get to, as the Mets hold their breath on Brandon Nimmo, did not sweep the Marlins. And really, this roadie coming up for the Mets, this is their season. So we got a lot for you.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back here on the fan. Good morning, everybody. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, 888-808-1019. Hey, awesome time at the Fanatics Fan Fest over at the Javits Center. It was awesome. It was great to see and meet so many of you. One of the treats, we had Doggy stop by. Mad Dog hopped on with me and Sal, which was a blast. He divulged, not only is he doing gummies, he's doing vaping now as well. So we had a lot of fun. You were there Saturday as well, right?
Yes, and I had a guy come over, big listener, big fan. He said, you know, I'll love the show. You weren't there. So he wanted, like, he liked me, but he's like, definitely tell BT I love him. So man, and he wanted the shout out on Monday. So Mario, there you go. There's your shout out. He said, loves the show, fan of ours, but specifically wanted to say, tell BT I really love him. So thank you, Mario. Awesome.
Thanks, dude. Very cool. Yeah, I'll tell you, I think that this thing's going to get big, bigger and bigger.
It was insane.
It was crazy. First of all, the space was nuts, and the access, and just the stuff that they had. If you're a sports fan, it was wild.
Yeah.
It really was.
I honestly didn't even though I went there Saturday as well, and I was there early before it even opened up, I did not, as much a sports fan as I am and wanted to check out, I didn't even have time to check out everything. Like, it was that.
What'd you get to? You didn't get
nothing.
What?
Dude, come on. You were there Friday. You saw what happened.
I got there earlier than you did on Friday. So I used about 45 minutes to really bounce around and jump into some stuff.
I got there, then I had to change into the stupid costume and more on that later. Oh, but yeah, but then we did the show, and then it was nonstop for those 4 hours. Then I had to go do SNY. Then the next day I came back, same thing. Like, I walked around a little bit. I saw the Mitchell and Ness thing. I saw some of the artwork that they had up. I saw the NHL. Like, I saw some of it, but I didn't really get to dive in and check the whole place out. It was nonstop working. It was great.
It was fun. So shout out to them, and shout out to you guys for certainly coming out and saying hi to us. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal get to the Mets. I know you won 2 out of 3 over the weekend. To me, you got to sweep a team like that. I don't think anybody would really disagree with that. Hopefully, Nimmo's shoulder's all right. We'll get to Daniel Jones, his performance a little later. Certainly rocky with a couple of picks. But right now, we're talking Yankees out of the chute. And, you know, this is not like a hit job or a hot take or just, oh, let's bash Cashman. Clay Holmes, you can't trust him. I don't think there's any way that they trust him. Not that they'll tell us that. And that's not good for business. Keep it inside, which they're very good at. I believe they are already beyond the formative stages of resolving their bullpen issues, and eventually Clay Holmes will not be the closer.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if that's the case. Now, we could talk about what we would do. I am not getting any feeling. I don't see any signs that they're going to go away from Clay Holmes. I thought they had a time to do that, and they did not. I really think he'd have to really, really implode to leave them no choice. I don't think they're there yet.
Let's get to John and Bayonne. Back to you on the fan. What's happening, John? How you doing today?
Good, BT and Sal. I think you got the right idea, BT. This is what I figure. If you put Holmes in the eighth inning to start, he gets through the eighth, then I start him in the ninth. He struggles. Either Gill, Schmidt, Canely, somebody else comes out there, throws strikes. This guy, the other guys, a couple guys that are on the IL come back because I can't trust them. 10 blown saves. At 5, I could trust. 10, no. I can't trust them.
And it's still August. I mean, when we say 10, I mean, it's not like we're sitting here, you know, the end of September, you know, wrapping up the Yankees regular season. I mean, it's 10. It's August.
Well, I have not looked at the leaderboard. I mean, I'm assuming that's the
most.
He
leads baseball.
By how many?
I don't know, but
okay,
I know
I'll
he
does.
I think I heard something. When CeeLo comes in, I believe it was Chris. Did I read it? Who knows? You don't like it. Did I read it? Yeah. Who the hell knows at this point? But maybe it wasn't Chris. I believe it's the most blown saves by a Yankee club, like at this stage, since Rigetti. I want to say 87. It was 87. No, 83 was a starter.
Okay.
Remember, he threw the no-hitter?
I don't know why I thought that. Okay.
It was definitely 87, and I believe it was that's the last time a Yankee closer has blown that many. That's a massive
number. It's a lot of blown saves, but it's not like... it's not a surprise if you've been watching him, and even just forget the actual number, but we're watching the games, and the games have been killer. It's just that It's not, to me, it's not fluky. Like, Mariano blew saves. Every closer blows saves, but it's different than with Clay Holmes, where it's almost, you expect it because there's always, even in the games he didn't blow, there were problems. Like, it could have been worse. We could be talking about 15, 20 blown saves. That's my issue. Where other closers, like, if they're on, mow them down, one, two, three, no issue. And if they don't have it, all right, you're on the ropes, it's a little shaky. With Holmes, every night, buckle up because you know guys are going to be on base and at least posing that threat.
Ira's up in the Bronx. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Ira?
How are you?
I've been dealing with this for years, that Cashman knows little to nothing about pitching. And it's been going on since the days of trading for Jeff Weaver and Javi Vasquez and Carl Pavano and
Kevin Brown.
You keep naming all these names. He got rid of a guy that went to the Red Sox, Whitlock, I believe his name is, that he should have kept, and he kept two guys that were garbage. It continues on. He keeps picking up players from teams that are not good. They're not winners. Sonny Gray, Montas, Rodon. I mean, you can go on and on.
Yeah, but you're leaving out a lot of the good players that he had, too.
Yeah, but those are given, though.
No, they're not. They're not given. Clay Holmes, as much as we rip him, Brian Cashman got Clay Holmes off the scrap heap. Like, nobody ever thought he'd be anything good. He was an all-star. Like, you can minimize it all you want. I don't, greatly value that. But it is saying something that the guy did make an all-star team as a closer. Like, and he's also brought in other guys. Like, Brian Cashman has found plenty of guys that have had success. And now, he's missed a lot, too. But he's been here a long time. He's going to have some hits and misses. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing ever. But let's not make it like you said, quote, he doesn't know pitching. That's just not accurate.
That's not fair. And listen, I don't want to turn this into a referendum on the history of Brian Cashman, but I will say, and I don't really give it an incredible thought, so maybe I'm missing somebody, but since 2009, right, even slightly before that, as Pettit and those guys were aging out, right, I think that the three best pitchers have been Sabathia, in no order, Gerrit Cole, and Tanaka. If I put him in order, I'd say Cole, CC, Tanaka. All right? You bought CC, you bought Cole, you bought Tanaka.
Yeah, and those are obvious ones. Those are obvious
ones. But who are the other guys that have been, like, really, really, really good?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about he's great at finding hidden gems and dusting them off.
Mostly in the bullpen.
No question. Aaron Small back in the day. Remember he went 10-0.
Nestor Cortez, one of those guys.
Do you want Nestor Cortez if you're a Yankee fan pitching in October? I don't.
Hey, you might.
I don't.
I mean, I might.
I don't want him to.
I trust him more than some others. I mean, but he found Cortez, who's been more than serviceable for this Yankee rotation for years here. He was off the scrap heap. Nobody wanted him. I mean, you got to give Cashman that one.
Well, I'm not saying that there aren't any others, but, like, you have to really think hard to even find out who they are. Like, you brought in Rodon. All right, again, Cortez, you scraped him off the bottom. He's been intermittently good. He's certainly okay. You signed Stroman. Whether it was Lynch, Paxton back in the day, the lefty from Seattle, threw gas, who did absolutely nothing. And again, not a referendum on Cashman.
Pineda, he's missed a lot on trying to get Sonny Gray, the top young, controllable starter.
I'm not trying to crush him. But that is a short list over a long amount of time. And again, I know we're talking about the back of the bullpen, but the caller brought up pitching in totality. Cole, CC, Tanaka. And you got to think really hard about what else he's done that's been, like, top tier, level one, an A-plus kind of a move, or even an A-minus kind of a move. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal here on The Fan. I believe Sal's got a little something. We'll get to Daniel Jones's Rocky performance.
Yes, and we'll get to the Mets you said later on. Yesterday I was at the Cadillac Club, which was incredible. I could get into that watching the Mets game yesterday.
Game?
Yes, I went to the game. Cadillac Club is the way to go, man.
And spent a lot of time at the Crypt this weekend. And Javits Center on Saturday, Sunday at the Queen, trying to get away from everybody.
I took my wife and daughter to the game yesterday. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I need a breather.
Too much time with my family.
Good to come back here and hang out with you.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey.
All right, time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. First one to identify correctly last night's Turning Point of the Game. Give us a buzz, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a 2024 Yankees regular season game. But it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, the Fan. It's BT and Sal. What's going on Monday here? 888-808-1019. Get to the Mets, Nimmo shoulder. Get to Daniel Jones and the Giants. Obviously rolling with the Yankees here. Another bullpen meltdown. 10 blown saves. Give me a break. So I did want to say this because I have a solution. Like, again, anybody could say, oh, Clay Holmes isn't good. No kidding. He's blown 10 saves. So my plan, if you just missed the start of the show, and if you did, just want to catch up, whatever, Odyssey, free app, hit rewind, get up to speed. But the brief summation is this. I said, all right, if the Yankees feel like they've got to truncate Luis Gil's season, then Clark Schmidt becomes a starter, and Luis Gil goes to the pen to conserve pitches and innings. All right, it's plausible. If the Yankees are going to let Luis Gil eat, which would be nice, instead of babying everybody, then Clark Schmidt could become the closer. Now, I say that all just because I saw something on how the Pirates are going to handle Skeens, which I find very interesting.
But they're out of it now, right?
Well, even more so, yeah. So, got to keep in mind, he has thrown...
Oh, yeah, they've fallen off here.
Yeah, they're 7 under. They're done. All right. So, he has thrown 125 innings this season, 98 of which have come at the big league level, the others in the minors, obviously. Now, last year, as the ace of LSU, he threw 129. So, basically, same exact thing. And the Pirates said, they're not changing anything. They're going to let him go the rest of the way. They're not going to shut him down. They're not going to have him on a set innings limit for 2024. So I'm going to ask you, like, if the Pirates are going to do this with Skeens, why can't the Yankees do this with you?
Well, wait a second. Why did the Pirates then pull him out of a game where he had a no-hitter?
No, I'm not saying that they won't pick certain spots.
Yeah, but then that's stupid. Like, if I'm the Pirates...
Well, he was at 100 pitches. I mean, there's economical, and then there's just being reckless.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand the logic. If you're out of it, you're going to let him go the rest of the way?
That's what I'm reading.
I mean, initially, actually, Terry Collins asked me this question in the newsroom the other day, and I was like, I didn't know anything about it. I go, yeah, hell yeah, I'm not shutting him down. I'm letting him go. And then they're like, well, they're out of it. Oh, well, I didn't realize that. And you look at the standings, well, they're out of it. What's the point?
I mean, they're 7 games below 500. They're 7.5 out. But as I read, the Pittsburgh Pirates are not planning to shut down rookie Paul Skeens and do not have him on a set innings limit for 2024. Ken Rosenthal, others had this, whatever, The Athletic. Any attempt to lessen his workload would reportedly come in shortening some starts on occasion rather than entirely skipping them, which would allow him to finish out what thus far has looked like a rookie of the year season.
Now, here's the difference. Here's the difference.
Good Pirates.
Yeah. All right. Fair. The Yankees aren't limiting Gil because of the innings or because of potential injury. If they do eventually, it would be because of fear of him not performing to the highest of levels because of the amount of innings that his arm is not used to.
You don't think they would do it preemptively?
I don't believe so.
Well, they've said other things in the past. Yeah. And
they should have already done it. I mean, here we are. You know what's remarkable? I was looking at, I don't know what the stats were exactly the other day. It might have just been like home runs or whatever, but the amount of, between Judge and Soto, the amount of games played for those guys, like, we're almost done with the season. If this were April or May, we're talking about, but the guy could get hurt, or but heel's going to wear down. We're approaching the end of August, and here we are, where heel's still going in the rotation. He's been doing this all season long so far. Same thing for the Mets with Severino. Like, at some point, there's only a few weeks left. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are here, so... Yeah, I think the Yankees are going to do it if they feel like it's going to benefit them based on his performance, not just because of the number.
All right, let's get back to you guys here at BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Will is up in New Rochelle. What's up, Will?
How we doing today, guys?
What's up, Will?
Hey, man.
Well, first of all, I wanted to make a point or two and then ask you guys a question, but I'll take those two tickets for the turning point of the game. Once I saw Clay Holmes warming up in the bullpen, game over, you know? So.
But, that's funny.
I think we all have that same feeling. We're like, brother, 1-0, man. Oh, please, Clay. Just, be Clay. But it's got the Chuck Knoblauch yips right now or something.
Let me ask you this before I know you have a couple of questions for us. What's more unsettling? Like, what's the most unsettling feeling as a sports fan? Like, I don't know, having somebody like, no diss here, no shade, but it is what it is. Like having somebody like Mitchell Robinson at the free throw, if you're a Knicks fan, at the free throw line late, or having a closer who's skittish like Holmes, or having a kicker lining one up from 37 who's been shanking them all year, like at the gun. I mean, those are powerless, empty feelings as sports fans.
I don't think Holmes is that bad.
No, I hear you.
But when you're talking about trying to win a World Series, which the Yankees are trying to do for the first time since 2009, like, I don't know how it got overlooked to that level. Where you have Judge and Soto in that lineup, you have Garrett Cole as the ace atop the rotation. All right, the other stuff you could fill in. You need the dominant closer at the back end. And they clearly weren't aggressive enough in thinking that before the start of the season, and certainly even at the trade deadline.
Will, what was your questions, buddy? Go ahead.
So, I mean, we all look at this Yankee bullpen. I watch every game. And I love, you know, what we're doing with all these guys that are quote-unquote no-names. Like, we traded for Clay Holmes a few years ago, comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. He's the closer for the Yankees. You look at the box scores. You see Jake Cousins. Oh, he's got a 2 ERA. Oh, we got Tim Hill. Tim Mizza, who was excellent last year for Toronto. Tommy Kahnle. But
Tonkin even really has been a good find.
Mm-hmm.
Mets caught him twice. Tonkin's been, yeah.
Like, do you really trust these guys in a high-leverage spot in New York, in the playoffs, when it really matters? I mean, we were in Williamsport last night, bit of a high-leverage game for a regular season game, and we couldn't get it done versus the Tigers lineup, who, outside of Kerry Carpenter, I'm not really worried about much there. You know, in 2022, we had Clark Schmidt. He actually tried to close a game for us, Game 3 in Cleveland. And in Game 2, we had to go to extras, and Jameson Taillon had to pitch the 10th inning. So I think the Yankees in 2022, when I saw that, I'm like, what are we doing? These guys didn't pitch in these spots at all in September. If we want to get a starter going now, it's got to happen August, September. You got Clark Schmidt coming back. Maybe we like Will Warren. I like Luis Gil. Was not great versus the White Sox his last start, but, you know, one start is one start. Could he close? I'd rather him start for now. In a playoff series, Cole, Rodon, Gil. I love the sound of that, but
I don't.
Yeah, that's a good call. I know Sal doesn't like Rodon. I like him a little bit more. Don't fully trust him. I mean, the one thing, though, you don't know about, you know, we talk about October moments or on this stage. You don't know until you get out there.
All right.
We don't know.
Right.
I don't think Holmes will wilt because he's soft. No. He just gets hit a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that there are certain guys that could, like Benitez just comes to the forefront here of my mind, thinking about, yeah, the pressure. I don't know if this guy can handle
it. Joey Gallo couldn't handle it.
Yeah, right. I don't think that that's the case. These damn pop-ups on this computer. I'm trying to look at something here. I can't stand it. What is going on?
Well, I mean, Y2K computer?
Again, another mad dog use that? I mean, what is going on here?
I mean,
yeah,
30 years old.
I don't think that's the issue with Holmes, but he made me think of something, which is why I wanted to pull up this, just the Yankees.
I got the stats. What do you need?
No, don't need the stats necessarily, but I think that there was a severe overreaction to the Yankees winning 5 straight after they got swept by the Mets and then lost that Friday night game to the Red Sox.
Okay.
Going into the deadline, they won 5 straight. And there was a severe overreaction for a team that had played the second worst baseball only to the worst baseball team in baseball history for a 7-week stretch. Since then, if my math is correct, the Yankees are 7-6 against the Blue Jays, Angels, Rangers, White Sox, and now Tigers. That's not good. So it's not just Clay Holmes. It's the offense as well. It's the starting pitching. Like, the Yankees just have not been, and their record is good and as good as anybody in baseball. So we look at that, but the sport is just not as good anymore, meaning that this particular year, we don't have those top teams, which is why everybody's okay with the Yankees where they're at. But the reality is, they're a flawed team. Like everybody else, yes, but they have flaws. I mean, BT, okay, great, they beat the Red Sox and Phillies, who, by the way, aren't that good.
Yeah.
Beat them 5 straight after a horrific series against the Mets. And 7-6 against the Blue Jays, Angels, Rangers, White Sox, and Tigers.
Now? Well, listen, I get it. I mean, it's a very flawed league. I mean, we've said it a million times here. I mean, I could paint it a little bit more optimistically without being delusional. Yankees have some issues. So do a lot of teams. And you know, the one thing that I think that I stopped doing is
8-7. By the way, I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
7-6.
8-7 over 15. Basically the same. Whatever. Point taken. It's not like they're 13-2.
Right.
Or 14-1. Understood. Right. But I could paint a little bit more of an optimistic picture. Yeah, the Yankees do have issues, but you say, all right, you know, since the Mets series, well, They did take 2 out of 3 against Boston. Maybe it aesthetically wasn't beautiful, but they did win the series. Mm-hmm. They did sweep the Philadelphia Phillies. Mm-hmm. They did take 2 out of 3 the next series against the Astros, one of which was an extra inning game. They won 4-3. Now, the Angels series, that bothered me when you lose 2 out of 3. But then you bounce back. You take 2 out of 3 against the Texas Rangers. All right. Nobody should lose to the White Sox. They got smashed that first game 12-2. But then they come back and they find a way to, you know, win the next two. So they win the series.
They're a 500 team.
They win the series. And then last night, if Clay Holmes does his job, they win 2 out of 3 against the Tigers. I know the Tigers aren't the 86 Mets or the 27 Yankees, understood. But, you know, that's... I think we're grading them a little too harshly with the way you frame it.
Grade it however you want.
They're wins are wins, losses are losses.
Dude, they're 8-7 over the 15 games against those teams. That's a team that was supposed to say is all the world. Like, Clay Holmes isn't the only issue here. I know it's easy to say that, and he has been an issue.
Oh, I'm not saying that, by the way.
No, you're not wrong. I know you're not, but that's where the attention is today, and I understand why. And I'm the one, as you said before, we've been talking about Clay Holmes and trust issues with him all year long as it pertains to a team that could win the World Series, but... I mean, the Yankees have been, for now, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, outside of a 5-game stretch, not very good.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that part of the reason that 5-game win streak, that renaissance, right, that flicker of like, oh, okay, that's who they used to be. Do you think that it was easier to accept or buy because of how dominant they were to start the year? Like, like when you show something that's so powerful and then you take this ridiculous dip, which we've chronicled the White Sox with, and they look terrible, but then you start to flex a little bit, it kind of reinforces in the minds of most, like, oh, yeah, that's the team that I watched the first 2 months of the season. Here we go.
But
we might not make it right.
You're right, but what about the team that we've watched for the next 2 months of the season? So, yes, when they go...
Happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. First one to identify correctly last night's Turning Point of the Game. Give us a buzz, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive 2 pairs of tickets to a 2024 Yankees regular season game. But it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. The Fan, it's BT and Sal. What's going on Monday here? 888-808-1019. Get to the Mets, Nimmo shoulder. Get to Daniel Jones of the Giants. Obviously rolling with the Yankees here. Another bullpen meltdown, 10 blown saves. Give me a break. So I did want to say this because I have a solution. Like, again, anybody could say, oh, Clay Holmes isn't good. No kidding. He's blown 10 saves. So my plan, if you just missed the start of the show, and if you did, just want to catch up, whatever, Odyssey, free app, hit rewind, get up to speed. But the brief summation is this. I said, all right, if the Yankees feel like they've got to truncate Luis Gil's season, then Clark Schmidt becomes a starter, and Luis Gil goes to the pen to conserve pitches and innings. All right, it's plausible. If the Yankees are going to let Luis Gil eat, which would be nice, instead of babying everybody, then Clark Schmidt could become the closer. Now, I say that all just because I saw something on how the Pirates can handle Skeens, which I find very interesting.
But they're out of it now, right?
Well, even more so, yeah. So, got to keep in mind, he has thrown...
Oh, yeah, they've fallen off here.
Yeah, they're 7-under. They're done. All right. So, he has thrown 125 innings this season, 98 of which have come at the big league level, the others in the minors, obviously. Now, last year, as the ace of LSU, he threw 129. So, basically, same exact thing. And the Pirates said, they're not changing anything. They're going to let him go the rest of the way. They're not going to shut him down. They're not going to have him on a set innings limit for 2024. So I'm going to ask you, like, if the Pirates are going to do this with Skeens, why can't the Yankees do this with you?
Well, wait a second. Why did the Pirates then pull him out of a game where he had a no-hitter?
No, I'm not saying that they won't pick certain spots.
Yeah, but then that's stupid. Like, if I'm the Pirates...
Well, he was at 100 pitches. I mean, there's economical, and then there's just being reckless.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand the logic. If you're out of it, you're going to let him go the rest of the way?
That's what I'm reading.
I mean, initially, actually, Terry Collins asked me this question in the newsroom the other day, and I was like, I didn't know anything about it. I go, yeah, hell yeah, I'm not shutting him down. I'm letting him go. And then they're like, well, they're out of it. Oh, well, I didn't realize that. And you look at the standings, well, they're out of it. What's the point?
I mean, they're 7 games below .500. They're 7.5 out. But as I read, the Pirates, the Pittsburgh Pirates, are not planning to shut down rookie Paul Skeens and do not have him on a set innings limit for 2024. Ken Rosenthal, others had this, whatever, The Athletic. Any attempt to lessen his workload would reportedly come in shortening some starts on occasion rather than entirely skipping them, which would allow him to finish out what thus far has looked like a rookie of the year season.
Now, here's the difference. Here's the difference.
Good Pirates.
Yeah. All right. Fair. The Yankees aren't limiting Heel because of the innings or because of potential injury. If they do eventually, it would be because of fear of him not performing to the highest of levels because of the amount of innings that his arm is not used to.
You don't think they would do it preemptively?
I don't believe so.
They might not. They've said other things in the past. Yeah. And
they should have already done it. I mean, here we are. You know what's remarkable? I was looking at, I don't know what the stats were exactly the other day. It might have just been like home runs or whatever, but the amount of, between Judge and Soto, the amount of games played for those guys, like, we're almost done with the season. If this were April or May, we're talking about, but the guy could get hurt, or but Heel's going to wear down. We're approaching the end of August, and here we are, where Heel's still going in the rotation. He's been doing this all season long so far. Same thing for the Mets with Severino. Like, at some point, there's only a few weeks left. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are here, so... Yeah, I think the Yankees are going to do it if they feel like it's going to benefit them based on his performance, not just because of the number.
All right, let's get back to you guys here at BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Will is up in New Rochelle. What's up, Will?
How we doing today, guys?
What's up, Will?
Hey, man.
Well, first of all, I wanted to make a point or two and then ask you guys a question, but I'll take those two tickets for the turning point of the game. Once I saw Clay Holmes warming up in the bullpen, game over, you know? So.
But, that's funny.
I think we all had that same feeling. We're like, brother, 1-0, man. Oh, please, Clay. Just, be Clay. But it's got the Chuck Knoblauch yips right now or something.
Let me ask you this before I know you have a couple of questions for us. What's more unsettling? What's the most unsettling feeling as a sports fan? Like, I don't know, having somebody like, no diss here, no shade, but it is what it is. Like, having somebody like Mitchell Robinson at the free throw, if you're a Knicks fan, at the free throw line late. Or having a closer who's skittish like Holmes, or having a kicker lining one up from 37 who's been shanking him all year, like at the gun. I mean, those are powerless, empty feelings as sports fans.
I don't think Holmes is that bad.
No, I hear you.
But when you're talking about trying to win a World Series, which the Yankees are trying to do for the first time since 2009, like, I don't know how it got overlooked to that level. Where you have Judge and Soto in that lineup, you have Gerrit Cole as the ace atop the rotation. All right, the other stuff you could fill in. You need the dominant closer at the back end. And they clearly weren't aggressive enough in thinking that before the start of the season, and certainly even at the trade deadline.
Will, what was your questions, buddy? Go ahead.
So, I mean, we all look at this Yankee bullpen. I watch every game. And I love, what we're doing with all these guys that are quote-unquote no-names. Like, we traded for Clay Holmes a few years ago, comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. He's the closer for the Yankees. You look at the box scores. You see Jake Cousins. Oh, he's got a 2 ERA. Oh, we got Tim Hill. Tim Mizza, who was excellent last year for Toronto. Tommy Kahnle. But
Tonkin even
really,
has been a good find.
Mm-hmm.
Mets caught him twice. Tonkin's been,
like, do you really trust these guys in a high-leverage spot in New York, in the playoffs, when it really matters? I mean, we were in Williamsport last night, bit of a high-leverage game for a regular season game, and we couldn't get it done versus the Tigers lineup, who... Outside of Kerry Carpenter, I'm not really worried about much there. In 2022, we had Clark Schmidt. He actually tried to close a game for us, Game 3 in Cleveland. And in Game 2, we had to go to extras, and Jameson Taillon had to pitch the 10th inning. So I think the Yankees in 2022, when I saw that, I'm like, what are we doing? These guys didn't pitch in these spots at all in September. If we want to get a starter going now, it's got to happen August, September. You got Clark Schmidt coming back. Maybe we like Will Warren. I like Luis Heel. Was not great versus the White Sox his last start, but, one start is one start. Could he close? I'd rather him start for now. In a playoff series, Cole, Rodon, Heel. I love the sound of that, but...
I don't.
Yeah, that's a good call. I know Sal doesn't like Rodon. I like him a little bit more. Don't fully trust him. I mean, the one thing, though, you don't know about... we talk about October moments or on this stage. You don't know until you get out there.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
I don't think Holmes will wilt because he's soft. No. He just gets hit a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that there are certain guys that could, like Benitez just comes to the forefront here of my mind, thinking about, yeah, the pressure. I don't know if this guy can handle
it. Joey Gallo couldn't handle it.
Yeah, right. I don't think that that's the case. These damn pop-ups on this computer. I'm trying to look at something here. Can't stand it. What is going on?
Well, I mean, when you have a 19, well, was it the Y2K computer?
Did Mad Dog use that? Restart. Jeez. I mean, what is going on here?
I mean,
yeah,
30 years old.
I don't think that's the issue with Holmes, but he made me think of something, which is why I wanted to pull up this, just the Yankees.
I got the stats.
The
what do you need?
No, don't need the stats necessarily, but no. I think that there was a severe overreaction to the Yankees winning five straight after they got swept by the Mets and then lost that Friday night game to the Red Sox.
Okay.
Going into the deadline, they won five straight. And there was a severe overreaction for a team that had played the second worst baseball, only to the worst baseball team in baseball history, for a 7-week stretch. Since then, if my math is correct, the Yankees are 7-6 against the Blue Jays, Angels, Rangers, White Sox, and now Tigers. That's not good. So it's not just Clay Holmes. It's the offense as well. It's the starting pitching. Like, the Yankees just have not been, and their record is good and as good as anybody in baseball. So we look at that, but the sport is just not as good anymore, meaning that this particular year, we don't have those top teams, which is why everybody's okay with the Yankees where they're at. But the reality is, they're a flawed team. Like everybody else, yes, but they have flaws. I mean, BT, okay, great. They beat the Red Sox and Phillies, who, by the way, aren't that good.
Yeah.
Beat them five straight after a horrific series against the Mets. And 7-6 against the Blue Jays, Angels, Rangers, White Sox, and Tigers.
Well, listen, I get it. I mean, it's a very flawed league. I mean, we've said it a million times here. I mean, I could paint it a little bit more optimistically without being delusional. Yankees have some issues. So do a lot of teams. And you know, the one thing that I think that I stopped doing is
8-7. By the way, I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
7-6.
8-7 over 15. Basically the same. Whatever. Point taken. It's not like they're 13-2.
Right.
Or 14-1. Understood. Right. But I could paint a little bit more of an optimistic picture. Yeah, the Yankees do have issues, but you say, all right, since the Mets series, well, they did take 2 out of 3 against Boston. Maybe it aesthetically wasn't beautiful, but they did win the series. Mm-hmm. They did sweep the Philadelphia Phillies. Mm-hmm. They did take 2 out of 3 the next series against the Astros, one of which was an extra inning game. They won 4-3. Now, the Angels series, that bothered me when you lose 2 out of 3. But then you bounce back. You take 2 out of 3 against the Texas Rangers. All right. Nobody should lose to the White Sox. They got smashed that first game 12-2, but then they come back and they find a way to, win the next two. So they win the series.
They're a 500 team.
They win the series. And then last night, if Clay Holmes does his job, they win 2 out of 3 against the Tigers. I know the Tigers aren't the 86 Mets or the 27 Yankees, understood, but, that's... I think we're grading them a little too harshly with the way you frame it.
Grade it however you want.
Wins are wins, losses are losses.
Dude, they're 8-7 over the 15 games against those teams. That's a team that was supposed to say is all the world. Like, Clay Holmes isn't the only issue here. I know it's easy to say that, and he has been an issue.
Oh, I'm not saying that, by the way.
No, you're not wrong. I know you're not, but that's where the attention is today, and I understand why. And I'm the one, as you said before, we've been talking about Clay Holmes and trust issues with him all year long as it pertains to a team that could win the World Series, but... I mean, the Yankees have been, for now, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, outside of a 5-game stretch, not very good.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that part of the reason that 5-game win streak, that renaissance, right, that flicker of like, oh, okay, that's who they used to be. Do you think that it was easier to accept or buy because of how dominant they were to start the year? Like, when you show something that's so powerful and then you take this ridiculous dip, which we've chronicled the White Sox with, and they look terrible, but then you start to flex a little bit, it kind of reinforces in the minds of most, like, oh, yeah, that's the team that I watched the first 2 months of the season. Here we go.
But
we might not make it right.
You're right, but what about the team that we've watched for the next 2 months of the season? So, yes, when they go on that 5-game win streak, you start to think, okay, well, that's what they were, and now they'll get back to that. My point is, outside of those 5 games, it has continued to be bad. Maybe not as bad like second worst baseball in the sport, but for now, another couple of weeks, 15 games against lousy teams or average teams, they're 500. That's something to be like, oh, the Yankees are back? Look, they have flaws. Now, the good news is so does everybody else. And I think this will be a fun series against Cleveland, one of the better teams in the American League.
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow night. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. You'll be in the building for that one. That's great. You know, with a good bullpen, we'll see where the Yankees die. Yankees are at home. They historically have owned the AL Central. And again, you're not going to put too much stock in the regular season, but maybe this could be a little, you know.
I mean, the Guardians could run. They're scrappy. I was going to say they're scrappy. They're beyond scrappy. They're pretty good. Yeah. I mean, scrappy to me is almost like, scrappy.
Right, right.
Keep it moving. Yeah. I mean, we don't really respect scrappy. Yeah, fun. Right. You know, but no, the Guardians could, they're a challenge. I mean, the Yankees could have lost to them in the playoffs 2 years ago.
They've got 72 wins. They're 72-52. They're right there with everybody else.
They are. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the fan. We'll keep rolling with the Yanks a little bit. The Mets, the season is upon you. It is here. You didn't sweep the Marlins. You didn't sweep the A's. Matter of fact, you lost twice to the A's. 3-3 homestand. Not good enough. I'm not saying the casket will be necessary, but if the next 10 days don't yield positive results, it will be. BT and Sal on the fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.